Good afternoon. This is Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. Until recently, there was no place in the Roaring Fork Valley for an adult to get an examination after a sexual assault. Now, Mountain West Sexual Assault Nurse Examiners Alliance, or SANE, has joined Riverbridge, a child advocacy center in Glenwood Springs, to provide this service. Joining me to talk about this new partnership is Blythe Chapman, Executive Director of Riverbridge, and Kelly Hill, a forensic nurse with Mountain West SANE Alliance and Riverbridge. I want to start off just by talking about this partnership, this new partnership between Riverbridge, which works with children who have been abused, and SANE, which stands for Sexual Assault Nurse Examiners. So how did this come about?
Well, it's been a kind of long process. We, our community lost a SANE program in 2012. And during that period of time, unfortunately, victims had to travel to either Frisco or Grand Junction for a sex assault nurse examination. In late 2015, early 2016, our 9th Judicial District Attorney's Office reinvigorated the program. And so things got started. It was a little bit rocky just getting things going, getting the community aware of the program again. And Riverbridge was kind of taking a back seat in kind of seeing how things were going. We have, in that entire time, been providing sex assault exams on site for children and adolescents. So when it became aware that the SANE program, Mountain West SANE Alliance, needed a home, we kind of stepped up to the plate and said, we're ready to do that. And fortunately, Kelly Hill has been working with Riverbridge really from the beginning in 2012, and was volunteering her time until we were able to pay her. So it was really a natural fit, and we're excited to see where things go.
So what happened in 2012 that caused us to lose the SANE program?
Well, Kelly might be able to add to this a little bit. She was actually working at Valley View Hospital for the SANE program at the time. Valley View had been running a great program, had some great nurses doing exams. You know, unfortunately, you know, getting the word out and that community outreach piece, I think, was struggling. And you know, SANE is it's not a moneymaker for hospitals, so it's really difficult for hospitals to you know, put that in place and keep it in place and make it financially stable. So I think what we realized is in our rural community, a hospital-based SANE program might not be what we need. So what was developed is a community-based SANE program. And I think personally that we're going to be very successful being community-based, and being under a nonprofit is really ideal for an organization like this.
Definitely. I mean, I think a hospital-based program has definite benefits in that there is 24-hour care, but we're working very well, I think, as a community-based program to be able to provide 24-hour care, but also reach as big of a geographic area that we have. So it's, I think, a community-based program is going to be a really nice fit for this community.
And what is the geographic area that you're
serving?
So
Mountain West SANE Alliance serves the 9th Judicial District, which is Pitkin, Garfield, and Rio Blanco counties, which is very large. I mean, if you think about that region, it's a very large area. Riverbridge also serves Eagle County, but right now Mountain West SANE Alliance is specific to the 9th Judicial District.
Wow. Can you talk about the need that you're seeing in our community?
It will. I mean, Blythe can certainly speak to more of the numbers than I can speak to, but I think the community, that the response we've gotten is that they want a program. Certainly, I can tell you from the patients that I have interacted with, they don't want to go that far to Frisco, to Grand Junction, to have an exam done. So I think there is a need. Unfortunately, we do have sexual abuse, sexual assault in our community. It's easy to think, oh, we have this wonderfully beautiful setting and that those things just don't happen. And unfortunately, they do.
I think we think about safety a lot.
Absolutely.
In Park Valley.
Absolutely. But in sexual abuse and sexual assault usually happens by someone you know. It's not usually by some stranger kicking down your door, although that does happen. But it is, you know, it is often someone we know, someone close to us. And so, safety certainly applies in many different ways. And Blythe can certainly speak to that numbers wise. But we see a number of adult and child patients who have been abused and assaulted.
You know, it's hard to put a number on things right now. I think that as our program grows and our community gets to know that we're here, that we're going to see a lot more referrals. People are going to be reporting more. They're going to be asking for services more, in my opinion. Right now, we're looking at one or two reports of adolescent or adult sex assault for a sane exam a month. And like I said, I anticipate that will grow. A big part of our program is community outreach. It's education. It's getting our community aware of services available. And I think that as folks are aware of us and aware of local services available, there's going to be less hesitancy to ask for that support.
I imagine that awareness of the program is one thing, but I'm sure you have to do other kinds of outreach as well just to make people feel comfortable coming in. How do you approach that?
Well, I don't think we've really figured that out yet. We've got a long road ahead of us. I mean, at this point, you know, over the last year, it's really been about getting nurses interested, nurses trained. Right now we have 4 nurses that are trained and able to provide exams, and we have 6 more nurses in training right now. When we have a good, solid base of nurses, we're going to be more able to reach the community and educate and focus more on that outreach piece. Right now it's just, okay, how do we respond to the need when it comes to us? But that will certainly be a goal of ours over the next couple of years.
Can you talk more about what it's taken to get this off the ground? Like, how much work, what kind of effort has gone into this? By how many people?
Kelly knows more than I do because she was a part of what is the Mountain West Sane Alliance, was a group of community members who said, hey, we don't have a sane program. This is not okay. We need to make sure that we're filling this need. What do we need to do? And really, it came out of the DA's office. At the time, our former district attorney, Sherry Kaloya, really felt like this was something we needed to make sure happened. And she put this group together, and she did see it come to fruition before she left the office. But it was basically right after she left the office that things really started to move. So I would say it was years of, like 2013 on, years of partner agencies, law enforcement, victim services agencies, Advocate Safe House, Response, you know, all those agencies working together and talking about what needed to happen. And Kelly was a part of those conversations early on.
Yes, it initially started as a sexual assault response team with all of those agencies pretty much sitting at the table with the goal of having a sane program again, a sexual assault nurse examiner program. So it really started collaboratively without having a program for a number of years. I think people really recognize the value even more. And then sitting at the table as a sexual assault response team, really with that goal in mind, things really moved forward. Seen slowly, but rather quickly in some aspects.
Music.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. Today, we're talking with Blythe Chapman, Executive Director of Riverbridge, and Kelly Hill, a forensic nurse, about the new partnership between Riverbridge and Mountain West Sane Alliance to provide exams to sexual assault survivors in the Roaring Fork Valley. More after a short break.
It just seems surprising to me that we went so long without a program or with a few people just working wherever they could to make this happen. Why is that? Like, what is it about our system that something like this can get kind of brushed aside until a nonprofit or a community decides that they want it?
A lot of it's money. You know, I mean, like Bly said, funding is a huge issue. There's grant funding, there's all community support, community funding that hopefully can be accessed to provide the training, the support, everything that's needed to have that stability for this type of thing. You know, nurses aren't able to work for Mountain West Sane Alliance full time. They have to have other jobs. So having sort of a foundation, a structure, which Riverbridge really provides, is going to be so helpful because, you know, you really need to have someone that is accessible Monday through Friday and as well as the weekends. And that's really tough. If a hospital's not providing that, then it's really hard to get that together.
Well, you know, I think there are some agencies that felt like at the time that there weren't enough referrals to make a program work in our community. I mean, that's at least the impression I got, was that there wasn't enough business, per se. That doesn't mean there weren't enough victims out there. Mm-hmm. I think there certainly were enough victims that could have made the service necessary. And honestly, one victim makes the service necessary. But there were a number of agencies who I think were feeling like, you know, there's not enough going on here to make it sustainable here. And there was at the time, and still is, a program running in Grand Junction and in Frisco. And those programs were able to provide what our community needed in the interim. You know, victims did go to those programs and get a sex assault nurse examination when necessary. But I think there were a lot of victims who chose not to because it was so far away. So I think it's a really big question and a really big answer, and it's not just one entity. There's a lot of moving parts to that, a lot of different agencies and a lot of thoughts about it. I also think that our community was used to a hospital-based program, and there might have been some feelings around, you know, a hospital needs to step up and do it. We're going to wait for them to do it, and that's not what was going to happen. So we needed to look at it differently and maybe think outside the box, and it took us a few years to figure that out.
And I think, too, you know, having a big picture, you know, since we are the 9th Judicial District, there are three counties involved, but we have three major hospitals. So each hospital is not going to have the big picture. They're going to look at the needs in their specific communities. And so I think, too, having an organization who already was able to see that big picture, to see that there are victims all across the community, all three communities and into Western Eagle that need this service, certainly you see the need a lot greater than any one specific community.
I think it sounds like you're working out kind of the details of this partnership, and that's totally fine. But I want to talk a little bit about your ideas, at least, or kind of your best hopes moving forward. If someone needs help, what's the process that they will go through?
So we've outlined a process at this point, and it seems to be working fairly well. when someone needs a SANE exam, that request can be made through Garfield County Dispatch. That's a little bit confusing because we do serve the entire 9th Judicial District, but what we want folks to know is whether you're an individual requesting an exam and are not sure about reporting to law enforcement, or if you're law enforcement and need to get an exam for a victim, calling Garfield County Dispatch at 625-8095 and requesting a callback from a SANE nurse is your best way to get things moving quickly. We have nurses that are covering that call system, so we're getting a page. I'm on that call as well, although I'm not a nurse, so I can't provide anything, but I can provide guidance should we not have a nurse available at the time. So it's been working fairly well, I think, so far. We implemented that in late July, and so far, so good. I don't know what Kelly would say about it.
I think it's great. It's certainly better than what we had.
And Kelly, this might be a question for you. What kind of special training do these nurses receive?
So all of our nurses are registered nurses. Most of them have a great deal of experience as a nurse. And then they have decided on their own time to do additional training to become a medical a forensic nurse. And that is online training, sometimes classroom training. It's a specific 40-hour course. And then they do sort of hands-on clinical skills training, and then they would also work with a more experienced nurse until they're comfortable and competent to do these exams. They're qualified just by being a nurse, but then they go through that extra training to provide that more specialized care.
And I guess I'm curious about skills, or just like the kind of the sense that you develop as one of these nurses. What skills does it take to work with sexual assault survivors?
You know, all nurses work with patients who are victims of interpersonal violence and violence in general. So I don't know that there's a particular set of skills that, you know, lends us to be able to do this work any more than any other nurse. An interest is certainly a key factor, that you spend a lot of time with that patient, usually a lot more than you do in the emergent, like a nurse in the emergency room would spend with a patient. We have one patient when we're doing a medical forensic exam, whereas in the hospital, you typically have more than one patient. So you really have to have an interest in spending that kind of time. We also get training to do the evidence collection piece, to do the more specific genital exam, which not everyone would necessarily have a lot of interest in doing, and that's across the board in the medical community. You want to be able to provide more specialized care for patients who've experienced trauma. So it's very much a trauma-informed approach and does require more time. You're spending a lot more time with the patient.
Can you talk more about what a trauma-informed approach would mean, or about kind of the mental state that victims might be in when they come to you?
Well, usually it depends on, you know, when they come in. And victims come in to a variety of settings with a variety of different behaviors. And usually my patients that I've seen in my experience, they're calm. They're not hysterical. They're not crying hysterically, or they're pretty much in shock, especially if the assault has happened pretty recently. But there's no particular behavior that we expect to see, but we know that they've experienced trauma. We know their brain is scrambled for a bit of time, that their memory may be compromised, and so they need that patience and time to go through the exam process.
And then what misunderstandings do people have about these exams or about coming forward that you find yourselves working to clear up?
Well, you know, for children, I think a lot of people think the exam is going to cause more trauma or it's going to hurt or, you know, for it really is a therapeutic exam for anybody, children, adults, adolescents. That exam is really about ensuring that patient that they are okay, that they are, if it's a child, that they're normal, you know, assessing for any kind of injury. If evidence is there to be collected, we are happy to do it, which gives them a better chance within the justice system. But from a medical perspective, you know, it's really about their health. These patients are 100% at risk for significant health problems across the lifespan, depression, contemplating suicide, unintended pregnancy, sexual transmitted infections, obesity, even chronic health conditions, asthma, heart disease. It just runs the whole gamut. So the sooner that we can connect them to the medical community, offer those resources, make those referrals, encourage them to see a primary care provider, then we know they're going to do better. Get them connected to therapy resources, counseling resources in the community. We just know there's going to be a better outcome.
You mentioned that you're anticipating seeing more people come forward as kind of word spreads about your program. And I'm also wondering about the Me Too movement. If you've seen any effects from that, if you've seen people more willing or more empowered to come forward and to get help.
You know, we've been getting that question a lot about the Me Too campaign and whether we're seeing an increase, specifically at Riverbridge and Mount West St. Alliance. And you know, we don't really have anything to gauge off of for Mountain West St. Alliance, so I really don't know. And honestly, with Riverbridge and child abuse, adolescent reports of child sexual abuse, we really haven't seen that make that much of a difference. But at the same time, we're not asking that question either, so it's hard to say whether it is has made an influence or not. Personally, I would say that, of course, we're going to see more reports. I think the community, as they become more aware and empowered, that they're going to be more likely to report. But I don't know that we've actually seen any hard evidence of it.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. Today I'm speaking with Blythe Chapman, Executive Director of Riverbridge, and Kelly Hill, a forensic nurse with Mountain West St. Alliance and Riverbridge, about the new partnership between the two organizations to provide exams to sexual assault survivors in the Roaring Fork Valley. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. I'd like to move on and talk about Riverbridge, which just celebrated its 10th anniversary. Yes. So congratulations.
Thank you.
I just would love to hear you talk about what Riverbridge does for kids.
Sure. Thank you. So, Riverbridge has been around for 10 years. We celebrated our 10-year anniversary in December 2017. And we've grown quite a bit in 10 years, but the basis of what we do has stayed the same, which is that we're a child advocacy center. So it's a national model. We're accredited by a national agency called National Children's Alliance. And we provide forensic interviewing for kids and adolescents when they're disclosing child sexual abuse. So that's usually the first stop as kids come to us when there's been a report. And we provide that forensic interview. But it's more than the interview. We're kind of call it a one-stop shop in which a child can receive medical attention, mental health support, victim advocacy, and the forensic interview, and have kind of that wraparound support. We also will follow a family all the way through the court process. Not every case goes to court, but when they do, kids and families need someone there for them that's not involved in the judicial system or in the law enforcement system. The way things used to be before Child Advocacy Center, kids had to tell their story or tell what happened over and over again. They had to talk to a lot of different agencies and a lot of different people. They might have had to be interviewed at child welfare or at school even, or even in the back of a police car. And so we strive to provide a child-friendly environment and ultimately reduce stress, which will lead to a better investigation and better outcomes for prosecution. We know that kids do better when they're provided that kind of support. We know that kids are better able to tell what happened in a clear and concise way when they're provided a child-friendly and less trauma-affected environment. We also have a facility dog on site, and he's been here to Aspen Public Radio before, gotten his picture taken here. But his job is also to reduce stress and reduce trauma for kids.
You talked about how child-friendly Riverbridge is, and I'm wondering what else. That's a great example, therapy mm-hmm. dog, because dogs make everyone more comfortable, I think. But what else do you do to make kids comfortable who come to you?
Really, it's, you know, the minute a kid walks into our facility, that trauma, that stress is reduced immediately. We're a little house. You know, you walk in and there's a playroom and there's little stuffed horses that greet you, and our victim advocate is super friendly and kids absolutely love her. There's games and toys. You know, it's certainly not a fun time to come and talk about what might have happened, but our hope is to kind of reduce the stress a little bit and just bring it down and allow that child the time and ability to talk. In addition, when they are talking, they're talking to a forensic interviewer who's got specialized training and is not a cop, is not wearing a uniform, is not interested in interrogating, is there just to get information, the best information, the most information possible from a child without creating more stress.
One more time, just to close, final question. If people need help from Riverbridge or SANE, what should they do?
So even if they don't want to report to law enforcement, they can call Garfield County Dispatch and ask for a call back. Now, if someone is just interested in the program and want to know more about the program, whether it's Riverbridge or Mountain West SANE Alliance, they can call Riverbridge Regional Center. And that number is 945-5195.
I would say, you know, patients, especially adults, may not want to speak with someone who is with law enforcement, and that's perfectly fine. They don't have to. They can speak with a nurse. We can go over all their options. We can get them connected to resources. We routinely work with Response and Advocate Safe House to get them that support. So we can provide that.
Well, Blythe and Kelly, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. Thanks to Blythe Chapman, Executive Director of Riverbridge, and Kelly Hill, a forensic nurse with Mountain West SANE Alliance and Riverbridge, for joining me to talk about the new partnership between the two organizations to provide exams to sexual assault survivors in the Roaring Fork Valley. This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. To listen to this or previous shows, you can go to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Cross Currents is a production of Aspen Public Radio.